This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
And welcome to Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. This is Andy Pate filling in for Scott Watley, and I'm glad to have the owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage with me, Kurt Rogers. Kurt, thanks for showing up today, unlike the Broncos.
Well, I think some of them show up. Some of them decided they didn't want to play because they're afraid to get hurt. But,
Would you have made that tackle? I think you would have. You're a tough guy.
Well, my question then is, if you remember Elway, what I thought of with that.
The windmill?
Yeah, the windmill. I mean, I understand it's a Super Bowl, but you're out there. That's what you do. I just think you're letting down your team when you're not giving everything that you can.
But do you have to bring that up? I'm a Packer fan. This hurts me deeply.
I understand that. I actually went to that Super Bowl. I was going to buy tickets. I couldn't get in. I found a way, but the guy that went with me didn't want to pay the price for the tickets.
You know, people are always surprised. I picked the Broncos to win that one. I did.
Yeah? And you're a Packer fan?
Yeah.
You didn't tell any Packer fans, did you?
No. I did. I go with my head, not my heart. It's just the way I am. And I just looked at the Bronco team. I said, we can't stop that running game. It's not going to happen. But anyway, thank you for being not with Terrell. No, not with Terrell in that line.
Yep.
But thank you for being here. The Broncos are here about 50% of the time. You're 100%, so you're way ahead.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Kurt, I want to ask you something today. I want to talk about fixing parts of your home, okay, and the money to get there. And here's why. During times like this when, you know, let's face it, it's a volatile time. In America, there's so many things going on, and you know the markets are fluctuating, and they're wondering every day, you know, what's the government going to do next? People during a time like this can kind of go one of two ways. They're either going to go stay the course or seize the day.
Correct.
Right? Stay the course. I'm just going to hunker down. I've got a budget. I'm going to stick to that. Keep my head low. Try and get through this. Or they can just carpe do it, as I say, you know, seize the day. I think it's time to seize the day. I think this is a great opportunity, and there are four reasons for that. We'll get into them in a moment, but real quick, I'll just list them. Number one, it's winter, and I'll say why that's important in a moment. Number two, inflation. Number three, rising wages. And number four, interest rates.
Okay.
I think all these things right now point to doing things with your house because it's going to be a great investment. What do you think?
Well, I've always thought a house is a good investment. If you look at the history of home appreciation, it averages 4.2 to 4.3 every 10 years for the last 60 years. There's only 2 years in the last 43 years that the property values in Colorado haven't gone up. So they're going to consistently go up year after year. They're not even on a 10-year cycle. They're on a year cycle. It's only 2 out of 43 that they never increased. So your home's always going to be one of those things that go up.
And that means even if you have a fluctuation down, just wait for it. It's like the weather in Colorado. Just wait a moment.
That's right. It's a yo-yo. If it goes down, it's coming right back up.
Right.
It's going to be there. So I agree with that. Now, if you remember back when you went out looking for homes, did you look at homes that needed work or did you buy a home that already had the work done?
Me and my wife, we wanted one that was kind of in between. We wanted right. something that we could improve some, but we didn't want, you know, something we'd have to overhaul.
Right. That had stuff on it maybe you didn't like. But most people, when they're looking at a home, if it needs remodel, they're not going to make near as much. If you
right.
have remodeled it, it's going to bring more value. So you're going to
Absolutely.
Get anywhere from 70 to 90 cents on the dollar for several things that you do to your home. So it's well worth the investment.
Oh, yeah. And also, gee, by the way, until you sell it, you get to live in that place.
Yeah.
And it looks really nice and everything works.
And maybe you won't sell it. You'll keep it.
Yeah. You might just
you like it so much.
By the way, that happens a lot, doesn't it? You people decide, I'm going to fix this place up. I'm going to sell it at a big profit. They fix it up and they fall in love with it.
Happened to me. I kept telling my wife for 10 years, I want to move. I want to move. She said, no, let's fix it up. After we did, I said, no, let's stay. It really did. I wanted to move out of the house. I didn't like the way it was. We tore out walls, redesigned it, and okay, now this works.
Let me tell you something. The Broncos are 500 right now, but I guarantee you they have a better record than either you or I do in debating with our wives.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes. Yeah. I'm way below.
I would agree with that.
Okay, let me jump into these reasons, if I may.
Go ahead.
Number one, it's winter. Contractors, as you know, if you're coming out of spring and you go to contractors and say, I want all this work done, especially at a time like this, you know, everybody's short of help. They're going to look at you and say, you're several months out. We're too busy. We're booked up.
Correct.
Okay. The best time that I have found to get things done is, you know, February, March-ish, maybe January through March. And this year, I think that's even more pronounced because you're probably going to want to get an early start so they can get the materials.
Correct. I don't disagree with that at all. The first quarter is a great time to do the remodeling because most of the time the contractors don't have enough people and they might lay them off. If they have jobs, they'll keep them together, even though they're looking for them. There's a lot of people that slow down in electrical, plumbing, contractors, home builders, stuff like that. So, yeah, you're right. The first quarter is the best time.
Oh, yeah. And, in fact, it's so pronounced that a number of them will even give you a deal. Not always, especially right now, because let's face it, everybody's shorthanded. But some will actually say, hey, tell you what, I'll even give you a little bit of a deal. If you do it at that time of year, I got to keep my boys busy.
Correct.
Okay. Next thing is inflation. Everything you do today is going to be worth more tomorrow. And if I can, let me give a personal example of this. Okay, 3 years ago, my wife and I moved into a new house. It's not new. It's about a dozen years old at the time. The first floor needed to be overhauled, especially the kitchen. Okay? And so the big question is, well, do we live in it for a while, build up the money, or do we jump right in, get this thing done, and then, you know, pay off the HELOC from there?
Correct.
And we decided, let's get this out of the way. Let's get it done. Well, here's what happened. We put about, oh gosh, I think it was about $25,000, $30,000. You know, I lose track because you're paying along the way.
Yeah.
But we got the kitchen completely redone, got wood floors finished throughout the entire first floor, did a lot of nice stuff. It looks great. That $30,000 now, 3 years later, and this has been an unusual time of inflation. I understand that. But we're told that it added about $80,000 by today's standards to the value of the house. And meanwhile, we've been able to live in this beautiful place. So we're living in a beautiful place, Kurt, and we just made $50,000.
Because the cost to do it now is going to be more.
Yes.
Than it was when you did it.
Exactly.
And inflation, you're right, inflation is keep raising those prices.
Right. And also, by the way, housing is going up. So the value of everything you do in your house is also going up.
Correct.
At the same pace. Okay, number three. So first of all, it's winter.
Yep.
Number two, inflation. Third thing, rising wages. Now, I'm not saying people's wages will keep up with inflation. Certainly not with Bidenflation if this continues. Sorry, don't want to get political. I'm just saying it's been a lot of inflation. The loan you get today will be a smaller percentage of your income tomorrow because wages are going up. They're going up everywhere. And so, you know, once again, we got our loan on our house 3 years ago. We got the HELOC. We actually paid it off after a couple of years. And that loan now versus our income is just a much smaller percentage
of
it.
Yes, correct.
So you get these things done now, and you're thinking, man, I should put it off. You put it off, you're waiting until a time where, first of all those contractors, everything's going to cost more. And secondly, that loan is going to be that percentage of your home. You do it now, 3 years from now, it's going to be a smaller percentage.
Well, and as rates go up, because rates have been historically low.
Right.
I mean, when I say that, I'm not saying 3% historically. They got down to 2 to 2.25. They have moved up some. But as the rates continue to go to 4 to 5, that takes a bigger chunk of your income. So you're right. Doing something now will save you a whole lot more money and be less of your income to make it work. You're right.
And you're ahead of me because that was my fourth point. Interest rates. You can't fall off the floor.
No.
Okay. And they are still near rock bottom.
Yes. They're still under 3% as of this morning. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I can understand if you go back, say, 6, 8, 9 months, people were thinking, well, lumber to get things done. Let's say I wanted to, you know, finish the basement. Something like that. Lumber was through the roof. It's actually come down a lot.
Yes.
This is, when you look at winter inflation, rising wages, interest rates, we're in kind of a sweet spot right now. Here's another one. What if you want to winterize your house? That's actually a big thing. We're talking all the windows around there. There's several other things you might want to do with insulation. Big project. Now's a great time to do it. First of all, you're going to save a lot of money because energy prices are about to go up 30 to 50%. But secondly, once again, you're adding that value right into your home.
Yes. and you're saving money because you're going to be cutting your electrical and your heating expenses down.
Okay. So let's say somebody comes to you and says, okay, Kurt, I want to get things fixed. Right now I recognize it's a sweet spot. I want to get, you know, that basement. I want to get that winterizing. I want to, you know, do the floors. I want to do whatever and add value. How do you help them? What do you generally recommend?
Well, depending on how much they want to spend, there are several loans designed to do exactly what you're talking. They're called rehab loans. FHA has one that's called a 203K, and they have actually two different models of it. One will go up to $35,000. You can buy a home and have it remodeled as you're moving into it, or you can have it remodeled afterwards, but the remodel is built into your purchase price. So if you want to have new siding put on, you want to redo the floors, you can do that, purchase it. They'll give you a future value for it, finance that, and move on. Or you can refinance the home and do that. Those are called rehab loans.
Is it usually a timing problem to, you know, have it done while you're moving into it, so you got to hold off, live somewhere else, or live in your old place for a while?
It depends on what the work's going to be.
Okay.
And you had a kitchen done. When you have a kitchen done, that's sometimes you don't want to stay in the house. My wife and I had ours done. We decided to stay because it was just the two of us and we could make it work.
That's how it was with us.
Yes. Some people, they don't want to, without it. And many people think, well, kitchen's no big deal. You know, I got a microwave, I get dish. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You miss a sink really bad when they tore it out.
Right.
But that's one. Now, they also have other loans that will go up to $150,000, $200,000. You can actually get a loan and tear out a wall, make another room, and you can build those in. And again, what they look at is they look at the end value of the home and will give you a loan to value at the end value of the cost.
So they're looking at projected after you do
correct.
The improvements.
So let's say your house, you owe $300,000 on your house and it's worth $375,000 now, but the recon's going to make it worth $5,000.
Right.
They'll give you a percentage of the $5,000, which will turn around and pay for all of it, and you finance it in, and you're not increasing your payment.
And once again, you're doing it at today's low rates.
That's right.
Not at the rates that are going to be next year, the year after that, and so forth.
And there are quite a few people. I've got a couple customers right now that are in the process of looking at doing just that. One on a purchase, which they never thought they could do. They could buy the house and have the work done, and it has to be done within 6 months from the day you close.
Okay.
So to give you time.
That's reasonable. And by the way, I'm a little off topic here, but folks, you will never eat out more than when you're having your kitchen done.
Or have to put up with the neighbor's food.
Yes. Every restaurant in the area and the neighbors are all going to know you, and they're going to start asking you, when's it done? Even the restaurant, they'll get tired of you and say, is your kitchen done yet?
My son's going through it right now. He's 5 doors away, and he's going through it.
Oh,
he's,
is he?
He's getting a lot of gray hairs. He's always out to dinner.
But there's nothing, you know what, there is nothing like that finished project, though. And you start showing pictures to everybody. And by the way, it's not just with the kitchen. That's the way when you redo the basement.
Yep.
I've seen people who had their houses winterized and they're showing pictures around of their window. And you're like, why are you showing this? Because they're actually showing what they did around their windows to hold in heat better, or how they put in double pane and so forth, triple pane. Okay, people get a little too into that.
They want to show you where they spent all the money.
Yes. This is why I'm broke. But it's incredible. So right now, Kurt, once again, I'm just saying, especially since, if you want to talk to some of these contractors, some of them are going to say, hey, my boys are available here real soon. But number one, we would prefer after the holidays. And number two, this gives us some time to start getting the materials because there's still supply shortages.
Correct. And if there is a shortage on the supplies and you got it scheduled for February and they don't get them till April, you're first on the list instead of starting in January and you're not till August.
Yes.
So you're ahead of the game if you start planning it now. Yes, I agree.
That's why, folks, everybody who's listening to our voices right now, I am dead serious. Look around your house. If there's anything that you and the husband or the wife, you know, whatever, are thinking, geez, maybe we've been wanting to upgrade this for a while. I'm telling you, it's going to add the value, and I just can't think of a better time to do it. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the various kinds of loans people can get so they can get money and maybe make their house work for them. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, folks, you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. You can reach Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Now's the time to get into the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's truly a wall-to-wall sale. Sitka gear 25% off. All clothing, fishing gear, and packs 30% off. You'll find many items 30 to 50% off retail. Great deals on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, camper, hiker, or hunter in your family. Or bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic and turn it into cash. And if you're looking for a great handgun, rifle, or shotgun, get by the Outdoorsman's Attic. If your firearm needs a little work, see Scott the Gunsmith and tell him Scott at Sportsman Colorado Radio sent you. All at the Outdoorsman's Attic. Great service, great bargains, great gear. 2650 West Hampton.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Divorce, custody issues, child support. These are words you probably hoped you would never have to say, and now you need help navigating these tough times for you and your family. For over 30 years, the law offices of Joline A. Harrow, PC, has been changing the face of divorce and other family law issues in Colorado. They empower their clients to move beyond the divorce process, to envision the full potential of their lives after divorce, and to live up to that potential. At Harrow Law, you'll find attorneys you can trust to defend your family's interests. They are dedicated to helping you with your family law and estate planning needs. At Harrow Law, their goal is to take your case out of the courtroom. The financial and emotional toll may not be worth it. That is why they are proud to provide cost-effective legal services that will find a beneficial resolution that works for your family. Call Harrow Law today, 720-541-5873. That's 720-541-5873, or visit harrowlaw.com. Attorneys you can trust to defend your family's interest. Harrow Law.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. This edition of Your Money Matters brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. This is Andy Pate filling in for Scott Watley. And again, I am here with Kurt Rogers, the owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. And Kurt, we were just talking a break. I did not know this. Like me, you are an Air Force veteran.
Yes, I was. 7.5 years.
Thank you very much for your service.
I had three older brothers. One was in the Army and two were in the Navy. The two in the Navy never saw a ship.
Really?
No, they never saw. They were Seabees. All they did was build things.
Wow.
So it was pretty, and all three of them were over at Nam together.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, thank them for their service. Yes. They really put it in.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Okay. Let's get into some loans, all right? Is now a good time for the first-time home buyers? Because a lot of people are wondering, you know, the number of homes on the market has shrunk again some, hasn't it? And, you know, people are kind of wondering, is there anything out there for them? What loan programs are available? Is it a good time?
There's several loan programs designed for first-time home buyers. Normally, when somebody thinks of a first-time home buyer program, they're thinking about a low-down program because most people right. that are buying their first home don't have the money. So a lot of them are designed around that. There's conventional loans called Home Ready, Home Path, and you can actually get into a conventional loan with only 3% down and no mortgage insurance. Now, you would think that that would be high. It's actually not. They're designed for, they're scheduled around, you have to have an income less than this, and you're going to have lower credit scores. So it's designed for the people to get started. The purpose of that is they want a certain percentage of the population to be in homes. There for a while, it had dropped down to 60. In Colorado, in 2010, it was around 66%. It's now slid back a little bit in Colorado. There's a reason for that. There's more people moved in than there are people buying homes.
Right.
So the percentage of home ownership in Colorado is a little bit less, but it's still higher than it's ever been. some of the programs. The VA, for example, if you're a veteran, you can buy a home with no money down. Not a penny, not a dollar, not a nickel. Nothing.
I know. It's pretty nice. Yeah.
It's a great way to own a home. There's other loans called FHA. Now, if you want to get into an FHA loan, they have programs for first-time home buyers called down payment assistance. They have some that require as little as $1,000 to $2,000 down. They have some that require basically no mortgage insurance. So there's a lot of different programs. An FHA loan is not always a CHAFA loan. Is not always an FHA. It can also be a conventional. They have six different models. So there's many different ways that you can get into a home as a first-time home buyer with very little money down.
And even though somebody who is a first-time home buyer, let's face it, they're a higher risk category just because they're just starting out. You don't know, will they keep this job, not keep this job? And yet, basically, the government is going to help them get a start.
Yeah, the government has designed some programs very well for them. I know many people that have taken, gone out and bought a first-time home buyer program, got into the house, and then understanding how home ownership can help you with passive income over a period of time, now own 10, 15 rental properties. And it all started with that first-time home buyers. There's some tricks that the government has set up programs that it's designed if you want to do that, it'll take you right through the phase to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, really quick here, before we move on, I got to ask you, because you said there's a lot of more people moving in than we have houses. Now, that speaks to me, housing boom, like building. Okay. Do you have a lot of people coming to you on new builds wanting to finance them?
Yes. Right now, I have a larger percentage of my customers that are buying homes are buying the new builds.
Okay.
And the advantage to that, and you had kind of talked about it earlier, they're going to buy a house now. I have a customer that they set the price back in February. The house will be done in a week. The house is appraised for $30,000 more than what they agreed to.
Wow.
And the value of the homes in the neighborhood are actually $50,000 higher simply because the value has come up. And all the appraiser can do is appraise it at the value of that house being new build, not a pre-existing.
So okay.
It's still going up in value. So you don't have to get into bidding wars. When you're having a new build, there's no bidding wars.
Right.
There's no appraisal gaps. They can't sell it for over. So a lot of people have taken advantage of that.
Okay, now you're smart on this stuff. I'm dumb. So let me try and keep it, catch
we
up.
We call that word ignorant. I don't know. I don't know.
My wife calls me dumb.
I understand. That's what Raymond thinks.
Yeah.
Raymond, you idiot.
Okay, so here's what I mean. So you're saying that this person, their house isn't even built yet. It's a week away, and they've already got $30,000 in equity they didn't have.
They didn't have. Actually, they got 80. Because the houses in the neighborhood that were built back in February are selling for $80,000 more than theirs.
Oh, my.
It's great. And they haven't even moved in.
It's an awesome time to do it, isn't it?
You have to pay attention to what's going on, but yeah.
Sure.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
So we're seeing people do that.
Now, a lot of the times because you're so good at what you do, you give people, let's say, a leg up on getting a house. Okay. Let's say they've got to go into, this isn't a new build. It's one that's been built and they're having to bid on it. But if they come from you, they've gone through you, they've already got everything locked in, ready to go. The sellers really like that. With a new build, that doesn't matter at all?
Yeah, they still want pre-approval. When you go to buy a new build, the new builder is going to have a lender that's going to want you to go to get pre-approved, because they don't want to dig a hole and pour a foundation if they don't know you can afford to buy it.
Of course.
So before they put that first shovel in, you're going to have to get approved. You're going to have to fill out the app and go through the process. You can do the same thing at the same time with me. So you may go start the process, but in 97 and 98% of the time, I've never not been able to beat the lenders, new builds lenders, because they're building in something else. They're not lenders, they're builders.
Right.
They want to do this to protect their investment. They don't want to do it because that's where they're at.
Right.
So that's not what they do.
Okay, so once again, you want to do a new build. You want to do a new build. You're really into it. And the builder, they're definitely saying go through ours.
Of course.
And you're saying 95%+ of the time, you're going to have a better deal. By the way, that doesn't surprise me. Why would they be motivated to give you a good deal?
For them, it's more control of the finance. But
right.
All it is, I call it, and I've talked with Scott about this, it's monopoly money. They'll just inflate things to say they're going to give you $10,000 or $15,000. And they'll build it up to where it looks like they're giving you money, but they ain't giving you nothing. Because without that, I can still better the price. I can better the rate and lower the cost. even though they're trying to put it on paper that they're giving it to you, they're truthfully just not.
Okay.
Because they're not in the lending business.
They're not in the lending.
They're in the home building business. It's completely different.
Okay. So basically, there you heard it, folks. And I know a lot of people listening right now, even if you're not looking for a new build, and by the way, a lot of people might be,
mm-hmm.
but even if you're not, maybe you know somebody young who's, you know, got that big raise, they're ready to go, they're ready to do it. I think you know where to direct them.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Let's get to what effect does someone's credit score have on their rate? Because I know, you know, my wife and I, we have this really good credit score. We're in the eights. And, you know, that really helped in the rate, but that doesn't always help.
Credit score is one of the key factors. When you're out and you're seeing people advertise rates of, let's say, 199 on a 15 or a 30-year mortgage, they're not going to advertise that unless that's a rate you can get to. But you have to read the fine print. What's the credit score that goes with that? And most people don't. What's the loan to value? There's different risk factors that come into play. Paying attention to your credit score is actually pretty simple in understanding how it works, but they don't teach it to you. In order to get a good credit score, you have to have credit. Now, I've run across many people say, well, I don't want credit because I don't want to pay the interest.
Right.
Okay. It's either pay now, pay later. Because if you have a credit score, for example, if your credit score is below 600, you're limiting yourself to basically one or two type of lenders, FHA or VA. Conventional will not do a loan if your credit score is below 6. If you're below a 640, conventional still won't do it. You're better off with FHA and VA. But once you cross to 640, they're going to start charging you extra fees because you're a higher risk.
Okay.
And so as your credit score needs to go up, you need to understand what makes it go up and what doesn't. Most people believe your credit score is determined because I pay my credit cards or I pay my bills on time. That's only 37% of your score.
Okay.
Just because you pay it on time.
What's the rest of it?
34% of it is having a mix of credit, i.e. credit cards, installment loans, car loans, those kind of loans. But the key one that I try to teach people on, and I help them go through processes, I've actually got 4 customers in the process now. When you have a credit card, having 1 or 10 isn't what's going to hurt you. What's going to hurt you is how new those are and how much you've borrowed against them. This is 34% of your score, meaning which if you have a credit card with a $5,000 limit, do you max it to 5 and pay it off? Or do you max it to 5 and have a balance of 4? That's huge on how the score is. They want to see that you make your payments, but they don't want to see you at the end of the rope. So if you have a $5,000 limit and you owe $2,000, that's going to give you the highest score.
Okay, so if you just pay it off every month.
Pay it off can help, but they want to see you know how to make payments. Paying something off every month isn't really credit. All you did was kick the can down the road. That's how the lenders look at it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I agree with what the lenders do, but this is how scoring works in the system. Understand the system, you can beat it. I had one customer that they had 5 credit cards. That's all they had. Their score was a 625. The limit on each one was 500. She owed 400. We took $1,000, put 200 on each one, raised her score to a 710.
Just like that.
With $1,000.
So someone can come to you, Kurt, and actually get a little coaching on how to improve that credit rate.
I'm not a credit repair person, but I know how the system works. And
you've
sit there and show you some basic techniques on how to get your score up. And you can do it quickly. The customers that I mentioned that I have, there's some minor changes. There's a few credit cards they've paid down. They've sent me the paperwork, and 5 days later, I can get the score up. Now, you don't always have to pay it down. Let's go back to that one at $5,000.
Okay.
And you owe $4,000 on it. And you ain't got $2,000 to pay it down. Call the credit card company and ask them to raise it to 9. If they raise the limit to 9, that's the same difference instead of paying it down to 2.
So you lowered your percentage that you owe on it just by raising the
top. You got a bigger
gap.
That's correct. And once you do that, the score goes up. So there's a lot of different little techniques that you can make that work.
Okay. I want to ask you more on this. Can we do it after the break?
Yes.
Okay. Folks, once again, you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. You can reach Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500, or you can go to aimortgage.net.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. will give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, and the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
This is 560 KLZ, your home station.
And welcome back to Your Money Matters with Kurt Rogers. I am Andy Pate, filling in for Scott Watley today. It's awful nice to do that. Okay, Kurt, what about, you know, we're talking about your credit score. What about your debt to income ratio? Because, I mean, that's got to factor in quite a bit, right? How much do I already owe elsewhere versus how much do I make?
There's two debt-to-income ratio factors that the lenders look at. It's called a front end and a back end. The front end, for example, is let's say you make $10,000 and okay. Your mortgage payment is four. I'm using high numbers, but it's four. That's going to mean your front end ratio is 40%.
Okay, wait.
Your income is $10,000 a month.
Okay.
And your mortgage payment is $4,000 a month.
Okay.
That's 40% of what
you
gross.
All right.
That's your front end ratio. Then let's say you have $1,000 in other debt. That would mean your back end ratio is 50%. Front end is mortgage, back end is all debt.
Okay, so if I give you this loan, that's going to put you at 50%.
Correct. The way the banks look at the debt. Now, there's some debt that they can't count. They can't count life insurance payments. They can't count, you know, I'm paying mom so much money to help her live where she is. They don't. Just what's on your credit report is what they count.
Okay. Now, is this going to be different for different people in different places in life? Or does the bank always just look at hard percentages on that? I mean, is that all they care about? Or do they look at the total picture?
They look at the total picture in ways you can't possibly imagine.
Okay.
Understand the bank. The way they look at things is everything's a risk to them. If there's
right.
more risk in that, meaning which if they have proven that more people will foreclose or be late on their payments, that's a risk. They charge more money up front for it. So if somebody else is doing that bad, you could be a 720 and actually should have an 800 score. You're going to pay the rate of a 720.
Now, why should you have an 800 score if you're a 720?
You need to manage your account a little bit better.
Okay, got it.
And most people at 720, they will quit. Once you get above a 740, it's not going to really affect what you're paying to get a mortgage loan. It may in other things, but not so much in a mortgage.
Okay.
And also understand that there's three different types of credit bureaus, and they're all run off of different algorithms. When you go out to get a mortgage, they're going to ask for certain algorithms that will give them a score. You go out to buy a car, you're going to have a completely different score because that's an installment loan. Then the credit card companies, they have different algorithms, and their score is going to be different than the other two. Because of what they count as important determines what your score is. So just because you get this one that says you're a 760 doesn't mean your mortgage is going to come in at a 760.
Okay. So basically, when you're looking at a home versus a car versus credit cards, they are looking at different parts of your income, debt to, you know, ratio and all this kind of stuff that matters more to them. And so for this, you know, for the home, you may have a higher score than you do for the car, or maybe a lower score versus what you have for the credit card company.
You miss a car payment, the credit card companies really don't care as long as you pay the credit card companies.
Right.
Their scoring system is going to be different. You miss a mortgage with me, it's going to really, it's 75 points. You miss one mortgage payment, it's going to hit your score about 75 points the next month. Now, it won't stay there, but it's going to hit it right away. So there's different things that each one of them look at.
You know, I've never missed a payment, but let's say I miss a payment tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
And it drops 75 points. But I go right back to being Andy again, and I pay normally for the next 6 months. How much does that bring back the 75 points?
It's going to be hard to get the loan because they normally don't want a 30-day late within the last year.
Gotcha.
So then there's so many more factors that you now have to look at. What caused it? Do you have an excuse? What's your score gone to? Did you go from an 800 to a 725, or did you go from a 725 to a 650?
Okay. Well, how about this? What about COVID? I mean, COVID has rocked the system. When banks or lenders see that this happened during COVID, but never before, and somebody has stabilized their life since, does that factor in or not?
I actually had a loan that was turned down today because of that. They wanted to count COVID as the issue, even though I had talked to the underwriter saying that we will look past that because it wasn't something they controlled. That becomes a very difficult answer to that question. Depends on the lender. The majority of them were, if you're self-employed, they don't care. If you're W-2'd, it's different. If you're self-employed and your business went down by more than 20%, they won't count any of your income. Now, follow me along on this.
What do you mean they won't count?
They won't count any.
Count your income.
Let's say in 2019, your company made $150,000. You made $150,000 on your company.
All right.
And then COVID hit in 2020, and you made $70,000.
Right. The bottom falls out.
Right. Then you come back in 2021, and you're making $150,000.
Okay.
They're going to see that your income dropped 50%. They won't count even the $70,000. They're thinking you're going out of business, you're a risk, and they won't even give you a loan.
So they're not even going to look at what COVID did.
They see what COVID did, but there's no excuse for it, and they won't give you a loan.
Because that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's a hard one for self-employed people.
Wow.
There are lenders that I can work around on that, but you're not going to get that 2 to 3% rate.
That just blows my mind because that's like being in a hurricane and having somebody blame you for being wet.
I'm just saying that's
banks
are looking at risk. The risk factor on self-employed, and John will tell you this. You work with John.
Yeah.
John will tell you this. Self-employed people always have a tougher time getting financed because they're a higher risk. Again, maybe not you or
right.
not
they don't
John
have a company
or
behind
me,
them.
But there's other people that are higher risk.
Okay.
50% of the business go under in the first 2 years. So everything, there's more risk. So the bank has to protect their risk for their other investors.
That is really...
I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that's how it
works. I'm not asking you to agree. I want to hear wisdom that people can listen to and say, okay, this gives me an idea. Because here's the thing, Kurt. Otherwise, you're going to have – if people can't hear you on the radio say that, what are they going to do? They're going to go into that bank and say, surely they'll understand.
No.
And then they're going to have the bottom fall out, and they're going to have this terrible, terrible disappointment for them and their wife.
Okay. Part of what has been happening – since the mortgage meltdown 2008, CFPB came out, the Dodd-Frank Act came out with regulations.
Right.
And they're called ATRQM. Ability to repay is what the ATR stands for.
Okay.
You have to prove with documentation that you've got the ability to make those payments, and it has to be for the last 2 years. So if in a 2-year period your income went down,
right,
you don't have the ability to repay, the lender can't approve you. And the reason for that is they can't sell the loan to Fannie and Freddie. And those are government agencies. Those are guidelines. So that means the lender would have to keep that loan on their books. They don't want to do that.
Okay, this drives me crazy because it was the government that shut down our world. Okay, and now the Fannie and Freddie, run by the government, are the things standing in the way of you getting back on your feet.
Agreed.
Okay, I'm not trying to make a point here. I'm really not. This actually didn't affect me. My income stayed the same. All right. I just know a lot of people went through some really hard times over that time. Okay. Can we move on?
Yes.
I got another question here. Okay, if someone's interested in buying an investment property, this is really big right now, isn't it?
Very much so.
Right. What do they need to understand?
First of all, you need to understand the actual cost of an investment property. If you go out and look at a home, you need to know how much you have to put down. Many people will want to buy an investment home and put 5 or 10% down. The minimum down when you're buying an investment home is 15%.
Okay,
cool. Most banks want 20. Some require 25. Again, because of risk.
Okay. Well, actually, that makes sense to me, yes, that it would be much higher. Just for everybody out there, if they're thinking investment property, what are they even talking about? Can you explain it?
Investment property is something that it can be, for example, an Airbnb. You can buy it as a second home and turn it into investment. Now, you cross a little bit of a line there. It's a second home, which means you're going to be spending time in it. If you turn it into an Airbnb,
right,
you then have to put it on your tax returns. If you put it on your tax returns, it then becomes an investment home, and the lenders look at it different than they do as a second home.
I know we're getting a little out of loans here, but I mean, like, is there a percentage of the year that you have to have it be Airbnb instead of you being in it? How does that?
No.
No. Okay.
Don't care.
So they don't care.
No.
As long as you ever do, if you ever do an Airbnb, you can qualify.
You can Airbnb. I have customers at Airbnb, but they don't take it off on their taxes.
Really?
Yeah. They don't put it on their tax returns for the tax credit that they can get because they understand the effect of it down the road. Now, Airbnb income, you cannot count as income on a tax return or a loan. Airbnb, they won't count it. The reason is it's not guaranteed for a year with a lease contract or a rental contract.
That makes sense.
So they won't count that.
Okay.
So even though it's profitable for them, they're not counting that.
All right, let's get to the different types of investment properties. What are they?
You can get a single family. You can get a townhome, condo, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. Now, that's a great opportunity when you tie in first-time home buyers. So I'm going to kind of stretch out here and explain something to you. We are finding that the government has set up loans that if I mentioned earlier about being a first-time home buyer.
Right.
A first-time home buyer can go out and buy, let's say they're looking at a $300,000 condo, or versus going out and buy a $500,000 duplex. The $500,000 duplex is going to be cheaper for them than the $300,000 condo.
How come?
Because the rent from the second unit on that duplex counts as income for them. Their payment's going to be less. Hypothetically, the payment on a $500,000 condo, because you're putting 20% down, you're borrowing $400,000, that payment might be $2,300. Well, you're going to rent out one side for $16,000, which means your share is only $7,000.
Right.
Your payment on a $300,000 house is going to be more than $700 a month.
Do you see a lot of people who are looking at things like duplexes?
I have lots of people doing this. Where it really shines is when you go to a fourplex. Somebody wanting to buy a $300,000 condo as a self-employed or as a first-time homebuyer goes out and buys a $750,000 fourplex. He's now pulling in $4,000 a month, he or she. But that house payment is going to be about half, maybe $3,000. So he's making $1,000. He's got no rent payment.
That's pretty sweet. And that actually works.
That's how the guy that started with his first one, he ended up having, now he's got 10, 20 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kept moving and moving and made it his primary. If you buy a fourplex and you move and you say, I'm going to live in one of them.
Yeah.
It's a primary. You don't have to put as much money down. You get a better interest rate. Your payments are lower. And you get to count the income from the three people that have moved in.
Then you move on from that to another one. You've already
gotten
a loan for
that one.
You do
that for a year
or
two. And then you move on to the next one. Turn that one into a complete 4-unit rental, buy another one, do the same thing.
Now, will the bank look at how many, you know, okay, but how long you've been in the previous one, or do they not care?
They want you there at least a year to two.
Okay, so you're in each one a year to two, and you're just building them up, four.
That's right. At some point, depending on how many you have financed, they're going to stop. They'll stop you normally at 10. There are other lenders who will let you have more than 10. I have one guy who owns 51.
Wow.
He understands the system well.
Okay.
Now take that to the next phase and talk about a veteran.
All right.
A veteran gets 100% financing. A veteran's going to get the lowest rates possible on a mortgage now. A veteran gets 100% with no mortgage insurance. A veteran can buy a home with no mortgage insurance, 100%, the best rates. It's
right.
A great loan.
Yes, it is.
Buy a fourplex. Live in one side of it. Your payment and your cost is going to be almost nothing, and you're collecting all the rent.
Wow. Are there a lot of veterans doing this?
There's veterans learning how. as they come as they're coming back and they're wanting to buy a home, they're understanding that there are different ways that they can improve their cash flow and pay less to have a property.
Wow. So basically, everybody out there, you want to make money, you want to live off of the place you own, call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500, speed dial 720-895-0500, or you go to AIMortgage.net. Folks, you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pets' needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Your Money Matters with Kurt Rogers. I am Andy Pate, filling in for the great Scott Watley, and Kurt's smiling. Okay, Kurt, you were just saying about VA loans and why they're such a great loan. I want you to kind of finish up on that, and then you had something else to add.
Yeah, VA, if you're a veteran and you're looking at maybe buying a home, get with me. You might be able to actually buy a fourplex, and you can get some nice fourplexes and only pay $500 a month, and then you get all the write-off on the other three units. I mean, there's some techniques that can work for that.
Where do they go to find this? I'm sure there are people listening right now saying, geez, that'd be kind of a neat opportunity. I have no idea where to find fourplexes and stuff.
I have people that can find plenty of them. I'm licensed in Colorado and Arizona.
So find you, and you'll take care of it from there.
I have plenty of people that can find you the fourplexes, and then you run the numbers. Again, when you're buying an investment property, there's things you need to pay attention to. If you're buying it as a primary, it gives you a lot more latitude to do a whole lot more things.
Now, are you like a landlord at that point?
No.
What's the difference?
I just help find the people that will take care of your property. I can find you the realtor. I can find you a property manager for it if you want.
I meant, are they a landlord then?
No, If you're living in a fourplex, I would not recommend you being the landlord, because if they're living next to you and they know you own it, they're gonna kind of work you on the payment.
So they don't even know you own it.
That's right.
Okay, this is all new to me.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right.
We could show you those things.
I was gonna sell it to Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have absolutely no idea what I'm doing to him, but I'm gonna put him in there. I'm gonna charge him double. Okay. And what were you going to say, too? You had something else that you were going to add. I don't want to run on.
No, that was pretty much it on the investment. Now is still a good time for investment. And the main reason is, if you're buying investment property, it's always about cash flow. If it's cash flowing, because you're not going to buy a fix and flip, because you never know what you're going to get, plus the cost of fixing it before you flip it can get outrageous. Okay. So if you're buying an investment property, what's the cash flow? And you remember that you're making money in three areas. Your home is appreciating.
Right.
When they make a payment, they're driving it down. So you're building up more, your payoff's going down, so you're building up the equity, the value's going up, so you even have more equity. You got cash flow, and you got the tax write-off.
Wow, that's a lot of money. And you know, I was thinking, because the equity has just got to be skyrocketing with three people out of four paying into this place.
I have many people that 8-10 months ago, they're refinancing, they're picking up $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in equity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And by the way, let's get back to I want to talk asset manager. Okay. Yes. Well, because it's a big loan, and I know, and I've never had a chance to talk to you about this. I haven't got to. A lot of people want the asset manager loan. Can you explain why?
I've been doing the asset manager for a long time, and the biggest thing that makes the asset manager work, and if you've heard me on the show, is that it's a simple interest loan. And what that means is, as you make your payment, your payoff will go down. Unlike a conventional loan, your payment will stay the same. But in this one, your payoff goes down, which means you start paying less interest to own the home. So as you pay less interest, you're actually lowering your interest rate. So if you get a rate of 3% and you pay off the home in half the time, you're actually getting a rate of about 1.75.
Right.
Because you're paying less interest to own the home. And that's all because it's a simple interest loan. Unlike a normal 30-year conventional loan, one of the things that really attracts people to this loan is, if you're in the loan 2, 3, 4, 5 years and you want to remodel and you're in a conventional loan, you have to go get another loan to borrow that money. With this one, you have access to your equity for 30 years. Even if you pay off the home in 8, you can reach back in there and grab that equity for 30 years. You don't have to requalify. It doesn't cost you anything. You just write the check. They're giving you a line of credit for 30 years on the value of your home, whether you owe money on it or not. So it gives a lot of people, like John. John's learned to take that money, talks about self-employed,
right,
taking that money and helping their business and how it helps you get by things. In 2008, for example, my neighbor had the loan, and she lost her job. She had just under $100,000 worth of available cash to her. She lived in that house for 18 months, had no money coming in. She was able to make her mortgage payment, her car payment, kid go to school, never affected her credit score. That loan kept her in her house. When 7 million people foreclosed from 2008 to 2010, there was only one person ever foreclosed with this loan, because you have access to your money when the times get tough. That's why it's one of the best loans on the market.
So an asset manager loan is basically one that's going to keep you safer.
Safer.
Nothing's perfect.
Nope.
Okay. It's a tough world, but it's going to keep you a lot safer during hard times.
Yeah, you're going to pay less interest to own your home.
Right.
Without changing one penny of your spending habits. You don't have to pay more money. Just keep paying what you're paying. You will pay off your home faster. You will pay less interest to own your home. And you will then still have the available cash to reach in there and grab, should you need it. You want to do a home improvement, write that check for $30,000.
Okay.
Have it done. You don't have to go get a HELOC. It's already built into your loan.
You just write a check for $30,000 right out of it.
Right out the bat. If you get laid off, you get injured, and you're out of work for 90 days, you got no money coming in, not a problem.
Do you have people come to you, want to talk HELOCs, and they wind up getting this?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a better deal.
Absolutely. Quite a few of them do it. And you can get this loan on an investment property, which is really amazing, because then it's never your money. It's always the person that are renting the property from you.
It's their money.
They're paying it down. They're paying it down faster. You're building the equity, and you have access to it. And you get to write it off.
That's pretty cool.
It works really well on investment properties.
And by okay, getting back to, you know, not so much the investment, but fixing your house.
Yes.
Okay. Like you said, you can use this and just write that $30,000 check, $25,000 or whatever. I just want to remind people one more time, folks, this is not a stay the course time. This is a seize the day time. Okay, because it's winter. It's a great time to get these things done because there's more availability with the contractors. Inflation's coming. Everything you do today is going to be worth more tomorrow. Rising wages. The loan you get today is probably going to be a smaller percentage of your income next year, the year after that. And interest rates are only going to go up from here. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, and when you talk about rates going up, they're going to go up, but I would not fear that they're going to go to 4 to 5. No,
I don't think so either.
They're going to sneak up. They're still going to be in the 3%, 3.5%. It's still going to be a good time. And where can you borrow money at 3.5%? It's hard.
Yeah, it is. By the way, let me ask you this, because I've been thinking too. Everybody's saying, oh my gosh, interest rates are going to be skyrocketing over the next couple of years. I haven't thought so. I haven't seen the market that way. It seems to me like they're going to stay fairly low.
They're going to stay low for a long time. And part of that, and I'll go back quickly to the CFPB and what they changed. Some of the laws they changed has forced the lenders to do some things to where that mortgage meltdown that we happen won't happen again. There's several reasons why it won't. The banks now are more reinforced with the money that they have to keep on their books than the money that they could go out. They're not going to leverage themselves out as bad as before. So I don't foresee that happening and rates going up. And the Feds, I just don't believe the Feds are going to allow that to happen. Inflation will go, but they're not going to do that.
No, I don't see it either. I don't see them jacking it up because to what point? Why would they want to do that right now and suffocate what little economic growth they have?
Yeah. Yeah. And we could go on for the rest of the day on that issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you.
They are going to be pulling back in the money they're printing.
Right.
Maybe that'll hold inflation down a little bit, but I don't think much.
The Feds aren't going to buy as many bonds, so rates are going to sneak, but they're not going to sneak up much.
And by the way, inflation, I see it holding through 22. I see it continuing up. And not just folks going up, but the stuff, once it goes up, it's not going to come back down. Okay, so when it gets more expensive a year from now, it's going to stay that way. I don't see it getting cheaper.
I see some things getting cheaper, but once they solve that big issue of all them boats out on the West Coast,
yeah,
and we start getting all them toys off of there and that stuff, yeah, that'll help.
That'll help quite a bit.
I think that'll help a lot of it.
Okay. Folks, once again, you're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Okay, you got anything else for me, sir?
Yep, I have to go through my disclosures. I am regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Our NMLS number is 298191. We are an equal credit lender, and I am licensed in Arizona, and that NMLS number is 2128571.
You know, that's important. A lot of people want to build in Arizona right now.
I'm licensed down there, and I'm getting lots of business, you're right. And property down there, especially fourplexes, are considerably cheaper.
Oh, so somebody up here can
buy
invest.
A rental property down there.
Very nice. And where do they come? They come to you.
Just pick up the phone, call me.
All right. That sounds good. Hey, folks, you've been listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Don't forget, you can reach Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to AIMortgage.net. Scott returns tomorrow again here on Haystack Help Radio. My name is Andy Pate, filling in for Scott Watley. Thanks all for joining us.
Thanks, Andy.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.